Welcome to Soulful Jewish Living, Mindful Practices for Every Day with me, Josh Fagelson. I'm grateful you're here, and I hope you benefit from our time together. Ever since I was a little kid, I've been a big Star Wars fan. I love the lightsabers. I love the spaceships. I love the score. Seriously, what is not to like about these movies? There's a scene in the very first Star Wars movie that's pretty memorable. Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and Chewbacca, the big furry creature later referred to as a giant carpet, have just rescued Princess Leia from jail on the Death Star. In order to escape the Empire's stormtroopers, Han shoots a hole in a garbage chute, and everyone jumps in. The three heroes have managed to escape the stormtroopers, only to now be trapped in a trash compactor. My wife is a fiction writer, and she told me once about a rule attributed to the great Russian playwright Anton Chekhov. If you write that there's a gun on the wall, eventually it has to get used. Well, to paraphrase Chekhov, if your main characters all land in a trash compactor, you know that eventually the walls are going to start closing in, which is, of course, what happens.
The walls are
moving! Don't just stand there! Try and brace it with something!
The walls start moving closer and closer. The characters get more and more frantic as they search for a way out. The tension builds as we worry that this is it. With just seconds remaining, Luke manages to contact the robots, R2-D2 and C-3PO, who can stop the hydraulic mechanism that's pushing the walls together.
Shut down all the garbage bags on the detention level, will you? Do you copy? Shut down all the garbage bags on the detention level!
No, shut the wall down. Hurry!
Just in the nick of time, the robots come to the rescue. Our heroes and the fate of freedom-loving people across the galaxy are saved. Whew. This scene is on my mind because we're in the season of preparation for Passover. Yes, it's a scene about liberation. Han and Luke are springing Princess Leia from a cell, and the rebels, like the ancient Israelites, are more generally trying to become liberated from a big, powerful empire, the Galactic Empire in this case, the Egyptian Empire in the case of Passover. But I think this scene of the walls closing in gets to the very heart of the Passover story. Why? Because in Hebrew, the word for Egypt is Mitzrayim, which literally means the place of narrowness or the place of constriction. Egypt was a place where the lives of our ancestors were pressed. Taskmasters tried to squeeze every last ounce of productivity out of them. They weren't given any rest. There was no expansiveness in their lives. As the conditions of oppression became more and more severe, those walls pushed closer and closer together. Pharaoh, the emperor, gradually increased the people's burdens. He ordered the people to make bricks without straw, an impossible task. Eventually, he came after children, babies, so that the Israelites would feel an impossible burden of pressure, lose hope, and get smushed in the trash compactor of a life of slavery. The miracle of Passover is that despite all his power, Pharaoh didn't succeed, that the Israelites tapped into a far greater power, a power of expansiveness, a power of imagination, a power of freedom. On previous episodes, I've talked about the idea that's frequently taught among the rabbis of the Hasidic tradition, that the Exodus from Egypt isn't only an historical event that happened thousands of years ago, but is actually something that happens every day, every hour, every moment. At any given time, we can feel the walls closing in. We can feel tightness. We can feel constriction. In those moments, we're being pulled into Mitzrayim, Egypt, the place of narrowness. But the good news is we can respond to those sensations with something even more powerful, expansiveness, mindfulness, wisdom, peace. That is the true and lasting meaning of Passover. The rabbis of the Talmud taught that in every generation, we are supposed to see ourselves as if we personally had left Egypt. That's actually the main point of Seder night. So here's a meditation practice you can use to help you sense that, either at the Seder or in these days leading up to it, or really any time. Begin by assuming a meditation posture. Dignified, upright, allowing air to flow. If it's comfortable for you, allow your gaze to soften or gently close your eyes. Take a few good, deep breaths. Try to bring some relaxation to your body with each exhalation. If there are any places in your body that you're carrying tension, see if you can bring some tenderness to them. Allow yourself to be supported in your seat. Feel the way the earth is rising up to meet your feet, the way your body's weight is carried and connected to the ground. Now allow your awareness to center on your breath. Notice when you're breathing in and out. Do that for a few cycles. Just pay attention to the breath. And now, if it's good for you, I'm going to invite you to explore your inner landscape and see if there is a sensation of constriction you can tap into. Doesn't have to be something big. Maybe it's when you think about something at work or a relationship with someone you know or the general state of the world. You probably have something that leads you to a place that's a bit narrower. Allow those feelings in. Don't push them away. You might even just name the sensation. Oh, constriction is here. Narrowness is here. Mitzrayim is here. Egypt is here. You might notice your breathing becoming a little shallower or a feeling of tension or anxiety in your body. All totally normal. And if it's too much for you, you can always step out. Really, you have freedom here. Now, see if you can gently bring your awareness back to your breathing. See if you can notice the rhythm of the inhalation and exhalation, the kind of wave that happens in your torso, the air coming in your nostrils and out your mouth. See if you can bring a little more calm and expansiveness to it. What you're doing right now is leaving Egypt. Leaving the narrowness, leaving the constriction. It may come back, but right here, right now, you are tapping into a power even greater than Pharaoh. You're tapping into the power that liberated your ancestors from Mitzrayim. It's a power that's available to us all the time, in every moment. Through a practice like this. If you want, you can press pause right here if you'd like to keep on practicing longer. When you're ready, open your eyes if they've been closed. And anytime you feel that narrowness and constriction arise, anytime you feel like you're in that trash compactor, you can tap into this power. You can leave Egypt. We all can. Blessings for the journey. Know that I'm on it with you. Thank you for joining us for Soulful Jewish Living, Mindful Practices for Every Day, a a production of Unpacked, a division of Open Door Media, and the Institute for Jewish Spirituality. This episode was sponsored by Jonathan and Corey Califer and the Somerset Patriots, the Bridgewater, New Jersey-based AA affiliate of the New York Yankees. If you like the show, subscribe, give us 5 stars, and write us a review on Apple Podcasts. Check out Jewish Unpacked for everything Unpacked related, and subscribe to our other podcasts, and check out the Institute for Jewish Spirituality. Most importantly, be in touch. Write to me at josh@jewishunpacked.com. This episode was hosted by me, Rabbi Josh Fagelson. Audio was edited by Rob Pera, and were produced by Rivki Stern. Thanks for joining us. Hi, everyone. I want to let you know about a wonderful new opportunity for folks in their 20s and 30s. It's called Shed It, and it's our new live weekly 30-minute Jewish mindfulness meditation set on Monday nights, hosted by Rebecca Schisler. You'll be able to practice along with other spiritual seekers from all over, and we even have a great WhatsApp group for you to connect. Go to jewishspirituality.org to find out more. That's jewishspirituality, all one word, .org. Thanks.